Okay, so we are coming to the final chapter, or we are in the final chapter, the final verses of Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 23 to 28. Before I start, I am going to pray, and then when I finish praying, I'm going to ask us to stand up. Father, we thank you that you are a good God. We thank you, Lord God, that you are exalted on high. Lord, you are the King of kings. You are the King of glory. Besides you, Lord, there is no other. Lord, we come to worship you this morning. We come to adore you and glorify your name. We come, Lord God, as we are, for you call us to come to you, Lord God, all of us who are heavily burdened, and you'll give us rest. You also say in your word, O Father, that you are faithful and just to forgive our sins if we confess them. So, Father, we come this morning and we lay down our burdens before you. We say, Lord God, we have sinned before you and we've sinned before heaven. We ask, Lord, for your forgiveness. We ask, Lord God, that you'll cleanse us, that you'll renew us, that, Lord God, you'll purify our hearts so that we are without blemish. Lord, we want to thank you for this opportunity to come before you, Lord, and worship you. Lord, I pray that, Lord, as we hear your word this morning, that, Lord, it will not come from me, but, Lord, it will be your word, O Lord God, that you have anointed. Lord, I pray that you'll anoint my lips this morning as I speak, Father. Let me not speak my heart, but let me speak your heart, Lord. And I pray, Father, that as your word comes out, Lord, that, Father, it will fall onto good ground. Lord, may we be changed, may we be renewed, may we be transformed by your word. We ask this in the mighty name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Please stand if you can and lift your Bible or your gadget and say, this is my Bible. It is the true word of God. I am who it says I am, and I am led by the Spirit of God. Amen. Before you sit down, can I have the next slide, please, Roger? Shall we all read the scripture as it appears there? Now, of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful, who also will do it. Brethren, pray for us. Greet all brethren with a holy kiss. I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read all to all holy brethren. Grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. Amen. Thank you. You may sit down. I'm just trying to make it interactive. Okay. So over the last couple of months, we have been looking at the book of 1 Thessalonians, and we have been looking at hope in suffering. We have seen that in it all, it ultimately points to our Lord Jesus Christ, who is the author and the perfecter of our faith. He gives us peace beyond our understanding. And that peace, Paul says, will guard our hearts and minds. So, as I was preparing this, I was praying for God to speak to me or to show me a sign that what I've prepared is his word. And this morning, I've not had any conversation with Rosanna to say what songs she should do on my behalf. But the songs that she has done cover basically what I have in my message that I'm bringing this morning. So I just want to thank God for his faithfulness, and I want to thank him that no matter what struggles we may go through, The Bible tells us in Romans 12:18, that if it is possible, as much depends on you, live peaceable with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in doing so, you heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. So sometimes we get into situations where we feel we want to take matters into our hands. But the Bible tells us that we should be still and know that he is God. Whatever we go through, we need to submit that before God and stay away from that temptation of being overcome by evil, but to overcome evil by doing good. So no matter what challenges that you may be facing, no matter how mean people may be towards you, what you need to do is just kill them with love. So as we come back to our scripture, in his closing verse, Paul prays for the church in Thessalonica. And verse 23 says, "Now may the God of peace sanctify him. May the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful." We've sang quite a few songs about God's faithfulness. And because he is faithful, he will also do what he has promised. So, sorry, I forgot to click. So, going back a little bit to chapter 5, verse 12. Paul says, "We urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you and over you in the Lord and admonish them, to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. Be at peace among yourselves." So Paul talks about living with one another peacefully, and that peace is in a relational manner. So it is within the congregation. So he wants the church at Thessalonica to be at peace with one another. They treat those in charge in a certain way, and those that are in charge also behave in a certain way that creates that peace that Paul is talking about. And when we move on to verse 23, Paul is now praying for them. He is praying to the God of peace. If we go through our Bible, we know that peace is not something that we just get. Peace is a fruit of the Spirit. It's one of the fruits of the Spirit. So God, the God of peace, is giving us that peace. And that same God who Paul calls the God of peace is the kind of God that not only enjoys peace, but he makes peace. He gives you peace, which is why Paul is urging the church to be at peace. When we go back in chapter 3 of 1 Thessalonians, verse 11 says, "Now may our God and Father and the Lord Jesus and our Lord Jesus direct our way to you, and may the Lord make you increase and abound in love to one another and to all." So the love for one another is going to make that peace for us. If we love one another, we will be at peace. We won't be doing things that offend our brothers and sisters. So he goes on, "Just as we do, so that he may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints." So this all points to living that blameless life. And when you love one another, you will, the Bible says, love your neighbor as you love yourself. So when you love yourself, you're not going to do bad things to your neighbor, because you're not going to do bad things to yourself. So by loving one another, it allows our heart to be established as blameless in holiness. And that holiness comes from the Lord. We are given that holiness. In fact, we were made holy by Christ when he died on the cross. So that takes me to my next section, which is the next slide, please. Paul says, now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. So he's taking the overall sanctification or the overall purification of yourself. Paul looks at it as a whole. He says spirit, soul, and body. When you look at other places, Paul talks about the spirit and the body. It does not include the soul. But here he's looking at the human as a whole. So, going back to verse 9, it says, for God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. And in Hebrews 10:10, he also says, by that we will have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. So when we sinned back then in the garden, we became separated from Christ or from God. But God made a temporary measure for us to be reconciled with him on a temporary basis, through the shedding of blood of the lambs or whatever sacrifice that we brought to him. That was a temporal measure. It was done and you had to do it again and again and again. So God allowed that blood to reconcile us, but it wasn't enough. Which is why Jesus willingly gave his life for us. In Hebrews 13:12, it says, therefore, Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered outside the gate. So the sacrifice was done outside the camp meeting, and then the blood was then brought into the camp. The sacrifice was burnt outside of the camp meeting, which is why Jesus suffered outside of the city in the mountain of Golgotha. So he did that so he could become propitiation or appeasement for our sins. Once he had done that, there was no longer need for any more sacrifices, because he became the ultimate sacrifice. When we look at Romans 3 from verse 23, it says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ, whom God set forth as propitiation by his blood through faith to demonstrate his righteousness. Because in his forbearance, God had passed over the sins that were previously committed. So all our sins that we had committed were passed over to Christ, and Christ carried that sin to demonstrate at the present time his righteousness, that we might be just and that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. So through Jesus, we are completely sanctified. Our sins are completely forgotten and are no longer counted on us, but they were counted on Christ when he hung on that cross. So as well as being sanctified, we are also hidden in Christ. Paul says, may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blamelessly. So he's talking about the whole person, the whole being, as I've mentioned. And we cannot separate the spiritual life from everything else. We cannot be obeying God in some matters and not in others, or dedicating one day to live for the Lord and then the other days for ourselves. Many a time we dedicate a Sunday to say, okay, this is the day of the Lord, and then we go away and live a different life from Monday to Saturday. But Paul says here, nothing should be separated. We should give everything unto God. It's either we are wholly in or we are out. We cannot afford to be sitting on the fence or to be lukewarm. You need to know whether you are hot or you are cold. You need to know whether you are in or you are out. You can't have one leg in and the other leg out. You need to be fully in or fully out. If you are half in, you are counted as out. So Christ must have that full control of our lives. Not forceful control, but the control that is freely given. God will not force himself unto us. He gives us the power, the willpower, so that we can be able to choose him. He could have very well said, okay, I am your God, I am imposing my rule on you. But no, he did not do that. He gave us the power of the free will to be able to choose him and to live in him. So whatever we do, we need to commit our whole life, every aspect of it, to God. That is the only way that we can be blameless. So the next part that I'm looking at is God's complete faithfulness. God is not just able to keep his promise, but he is also completely faithful. He is able and he is willing to keep his promise. Verse 24 says, he who calls you is faithful and will do it. He will also do it. So Paul is confident of the faithfulness of God. He mentions in Philippians 1 verse 6 that being confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will complete it until the day of Christ. So while we wait for the return of Christ, we are not waiting alone. We have a faithful Father. We have the promises of God that we have to depend on. The Bible tells us that for all the promises of God in him are yes, and in him, amen, to the glory of God through us. Now he established us with you in Christ. Now he who established us with you in Christ and has anointed us in God, who also has sealed us and given us the Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee. So as we wait, we are not just waiting in vain. We are waiting because we know we have a promise that God promised, that Jesus will return. And I was talking to Sarah earlier on, just before. We were talking about that the word of God has got to be preached to every nation, every tongue, and then Jesus will return. So we have a mandate that we need to do. It's not for those that stand in front and preach the word, but it's for all of us. It takes us to the next bit, which is the partnership. In verse 25, Paul says, pray for us. And Sarah has already mentioned how important prayer is. And that when we pray, that prayer is not in vain, but the prayers are lifted up before our Heavenly Father. No prayer gets lost. So we need to stand together and pray for one another. He calls us to pray with all kinds of prayers at all times. Earlier on, he told us to pray without ceasing. So for Paul to be able to share the gospel amid the challenges that he faced, we read about many storms that Paul faced during those times. It was important that the church prayed for him. In all his letters, he finishes off by asking the church to pray for him, which shows how important the prayer is. So we need to keep lifting each other up. There are times where I might be going through difficult times where I'm unable to pray. But if you are lifting me up in prayer, I am covered. Same like if I'm lifting other people in prayer, we are all covering each other. So over the next coming weeks, we will be having a week of prayer and fasting. And I will be sending stuff out. I'll be sending a form for people to sign up. But what I would like to do is that maybe we form small groups where we will be praying for each other. So that every day we are praying for each other. We are praying for the church as a whole, but we are also praying for one another. By doing that, we are building each other up. We are covering each other in prayer. He goes on to say, greet all brethren with a holy kiss. Here Paul is referring to the fellowship that we have as a church, as a church family. That there should be no divisions among us. We should love each other, as I've mentioned earlier on. And he says, I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read to all holy brethren. So, you might wonder what he means. When he wrote this epistle, or when he wrote this letter, it had to be read in public, as there were not enough copies to circulate. So they had to gather together and it be read so that everybody heard that. Today, however, there are plenty of copies, but we don't have enough distributors. So a lot of people are hungry for the word, yet they don't get it, yet they don't get to hear it. Jesus left us with a mandate, and the mandate said, go ye for and preach the word. It doesn't say, stay ye therefore and wait them to come in. It says we need to go out. And we cannot go out while we are sitting on our chairs. We need to do that action. It's commanding us to get up and do something. So, today we have got an opportunity to serve our community through outreach. So I would like to urge us, if we are able to head out and be part of that. We are focusing on building the Church of God. He is capable of doing it, but he needs us to be part of that work. He has called us to be part of that work of building his church. So let's get together, let's work together and show that we do our bit. You might not have that confidence to go and stand at the street corner with a microphone and preach, but you have got neighbors, you've got people that you work with. You've got friends that some don't know Christ. You've got the opportunity to speak to them and share the word of God. So if we all shared a word with one or two people, how many people will get to hear the word of God? And if those two people that we share with then go out and share with two people, just imagine how much the effect will be. So I just want to encourage us to take part and build on that confidence that he has given us. The Bible tells us that he has not given us the spirit of fear, but the spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen.